So we're thinking we had a shortened start to the service tonight, so we'll be out of here faster, right? Hold that thought, right? All right, Galatians chapter 5. What was that? Well, you know, you start early and you cut things out, you got to go late. It's kind of the way it works. Galatians chapter 5. Now I forgot if I turned this on. Yep, okay. I think it was last week when I turned it on, it was like there was no doubt, but when I'm standing back here, I don't hear it, so I don't know if I got it on or not. All right, Galatians chapter 5, we're just starting into chapter 5, so we're going to read verse 1, and then we'll get into this. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so very thankful again for your word and the opportunity to be here in your house. We're thankful for the visitor this morning. And Father, we just pray that you do a work in his life. We thank you for Kevin getting saved and pray, Father, that he would grow in your mercy and your grace. I pray, Father, that you would continue to be with each one that we mentioned earlier. Father, put your healing hand upon them. Put your hand of protection on those who are serving our nation in the Capitol this week and around the world, and we just thank you for what you're going to do there. But Father, I pray our focus and attention now would be on your word. And I pray, Father, that you'd speak to each one of us personally tonight, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we have justification by faith, an application of the message of grace, and this will take us through chapters 5 and 6. And first we'll look at liberty in Christ and our battle with self. In Galatians 5, the liberty of grace versus the bondage of legalism. The bondage of legalism. We can have freedom or we can have bondage. We have a choice, right? And so which one do we want? Do we want legalism? Do we want bondage? Do we want grace and freedom? I don't know. I kind of like the freedom of we have in grace. So we have the liberty of grace in 5:1a. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free." We're only free because of what Christ did. It's not anything we've done. It's only what he's done that we can be free. And we can be free in Jesus Christ. Then Paul exhorts his readers to stand firm and without compromise for our freedom in Christ from the bondage of any system of salvation, security, or sanctification by works. By works. Aren't you glad that we don't have to hope we've done enough good works? I mean, we're going to get into some of that, but can you imagine what it'd be like? Have I done enough works? Have I not done enough works? How do I know if I've done enough works? How many is enough works? I mean, all these things have got to go through your mind if you think that works is how you're saved. Because who gets to determine how many is enough works? The one doing them, right? I've done enough, so I must be all right. No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You don't get to choose to do works and choose how many you have to do. It's a futile system. It doesn't work. So praise the Lord that we don't have that. Then we have the bondage of legalism, the dangers of trusting in works for earning favor with God. Again, you trust in your works, you're going to be in bondage. There's no way out of it. It's the way it is. Galatians 5:1b says, "And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Don't go there. So first of all, imagine the intolerable bondage of living your entire life in a hopeless quest to be good enough to be accepted by God, but knowing deep down that you will never be able to live up to the standards of God's commandments. I mean, how do you live up to the standards of God's commandments? I mean, let's just take just the Ten Commandments, and a lot of people say, well, that's all I have to live by. No, you have to take all of the commandments of God. It's not just the Ten, but just take the Ten. If we're honest, we've all broke at least one of those. If we're really honest, we probably broke several of them, right? Let's And let's go where God says, if you thought hatred against your brother or sister, you've committed murder, right? So let's, you know, I don't know about you, but growing up when you've got siblings, you've always at least once had some hate towards one of them, right? Just something happens and it goes, some people are an only child and they never knew that, right? But no, it happens. So we could not keep those if we wanted to. And that's just those 10. Let's figure out all the rest, too, that God has given us. And then imagine the unending fear of never knowing whether you might have gone just one sin too far and may be doomed to hell. Right? I've done enough good works, but I've done this many sins. Which one outweighs the other? And am I sure that it is enough? Who gets to balance that? And why would you want to constantly be in fear that you haven't done enough? I mean, I like the grace thing. We don't have to fear that we've done enough or we haven't done it. We just have to believe that He's done it all and trust in Him. And then imagine the insecurity of never being able to rest in the full assurance that God loves and accepts you. Yeah. God loves us and He accepts us. In fact, we get to come to God just as we are. Right? We sing the hymn, "Just as I am." Yeah. We get to come to God just as we are. And He'll take care of cleaning us up. But we're not good at it. But He is. So we'll let Him do it. But just imagine not ever being able to rest in the full assurance that God accepts you. That God accepts you and He loves you. Imagine the defeat of tediously trying to obey every command and yet failing daily. I mean, can you imagine? I don't know about you guys, but I'd have to make a list of all the commands, and then I have to check them off each day to make sure I got them all, right? Thank God we don't have to do that. Thank God we don't have that hanging over our heads. And then imagine the self-deception and denial that those who cannot live with their guilt and fear must experience as they vainly try to belittle their own sins and naively claim sinless perfection. Have you ever noticed that when people want to tell you about what their sins are little tiny things? Everybody else is doing gross, terrible sins, but their sins are little tiny things that are really not much to them. Well, because you have to belittle your own sins to make that sound like you've done enough good to outweigh the bad, and so you try and do that, but it's in vain. It's in vain. John, 1 John 1:8 and 10 that we read last week, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Pretty clear. He said what He meant, and He meant what He said, right? And so we know that we can't do that. So imagine the arrogance of those who proudly think that they have succeeded in earning God's acceptance by their own goodness. I like when we have conversations in my office when we do men's prayer and stuff, and we talk about, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. The Bible says that. So how can you think you've done enough good? There's none righteous, no, not one. How do we think we've done enough good? And yet, when you talk to people, they'll tell you, I'm hoping my good outweighs my bad, right? Have you ever heard that? If you've talked to people about the Word of God, you've heard that. Oh, I'm hoping my good outweighs my bad. You're counting on the wrong thing. Because your good will not ever outweigh your bad. It can't. Because this book tells us, the Holy Word of God tells us, from a God who cannot lie, tells us that there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. So what are we going to do? If you trust in works, Christ shall profit you nothing. Nothing at all. Galatians 5:2 says, Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Do you want to follow the law? Follow the commandments of God? Then Christ profits you nothing. Nothing. So you can't say, well, I'm trusting in Christ, who now profits you nothing, when you add works. You might as well just say you're not trusting in Christ, because you're not. You're just trusting in your works. Note the amazing truth of this passage. Those who submit to circumcision and thereby to the law in an attempt to obtain salvation by works completely negate the work of Christ in their life. That's no good. No good for them at all. And why would you want to rely on your works? I mean, we can mess things up pretty good. Without even trying, we can mess things up pretty good. Why would we want to rely on our own works? But man wants to. Man always wants to be able to say, look at what I did, right? Get credit for it. I thank God I don't need credit for it. God gets all the credit for what he's done in salvation in everyone's life. Not just mine, but if he's done a work in your life, he gets credit for that. Now, we can try all we want, but the credit's not ours. It's his. And he gets all that credit. And he should. Now, note, circumcision was the Jewish rite which symbolized being placed under and assuming responsibility to obey the law of God. That just says, I'm going to be under the law of God. Tragic conclusion is that all who trust in Christ plus works to save them negate their trust in Christ by their trust in works. Our works isn't going to get us anywhere. I've mentioned before, there's a group, a well-known group, that go door to door to door to door to door, and they always want to do everything they can to work themselves to heaven. And I refuse to give them anything to do that would encourage them in their journey of a works-based salvation. I'll talk to them every day of the week, for hours on end if they want, and show them that they don't have to do that. But I'm not going to encourage them to do more works so that they can make or earn their way to heaven. No one can be saved by trusting Christ plus works. They must trust in Christ alone. What he's done. When he hung on that cross and he said, it is finished, he meant it is finished, period. End of discussion. It's over. It's done. We don't have to do anything. He's already done it all. And those who have already been saved by trusting Christ alone and who begin to trust in Christ plus their own works lose all the present benefits of living under the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You lose the benefits. Now, are there people out there that have been saved and now are trusting in works? Yeah. They lose all the benefits that you have of living in grace under Jesus Christ. You lose all those benefits. Because you go back to all these things we already said, imagining that you have to wonder, have you done enough good? My good going to outweigh my bad. So and by the way, the answer to that is always no. Your good is never going to outweigh your bad. If you trust in works, you must obey every command of God. And then Galatians 5:3, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. The whole law. James 2:10 says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Guilty of all. Can you imagine if you just happen to forget one out of all of them and you didn't do it? You're guilty of every last one of them. Pretty stringent rules, huh? The whole idea is that it's supposed to bring us to Christ. It's supposed to show us that we need a Savior, that we can't do it on our own. And thank God that he himself provided us a Savior so that we didn't have to worry about if we were going to be able to find one on our own. No, he provided it. And praise God he did. If salvation, security, or sanctification were by works, then we would have to be good enough to earn God's acceptance. How good would we have to be to do this? Isn't that good? How good would you have to be to earn God's acceptance? You can't. But the answer is we can't be good enough. There's nothing we could do to be good enough. Paul states here that we would have to obey the whole law. James 2:10 declares that breaking one commandment makes us as guilty if we had broken them all. Jesus states that we would have to be as absolutely perfect as God the Father. Anybody in here as perfect as God the Father? I didn't think so. In fact, I know we're not. There's no doubt in my mind we are not that good. The Bible says we're not. So we know we aren't. We know we can't live up to that. So praise the Lord that he provided a way. And then Matthew 5:48 says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." If we try to do enough works to earn God's favor, we would have to obey every commandment in the Bible to be saved, to be sure, to be secure, or to be sanctified. Works can never earn God's favor. Trust in works is entirely futile. Entirely. Yet man still wants to do this. I mean, you've got the Word of God. I'm using verses of Scripture to prove that it doesn't work, and yet man still says, this is what we have to do. I always say, if man is trying to convince you that you have to do works to earn your way to heaven, there's something that they want to control in your life. It's all about control. It's all about power. That's what it's about. That's why they want you to feel like you have to. If you trust in works, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Galatians 5:4a, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Trust in works destroys trust in Christ. Your focus is no longer on the Savior. It's now on, have I done enough? Have I done enough? Have I done enough? And every day you get up, it's, I've got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do this. And it's no longer about being a Christian. It's about doing. And we are no longer walking with the Savior, we're working for the Savior. Totally different. Do you know, it's so much easier, notice I didn't say easy, it's so much easier to walk with the Savior than without him. And yet, when we're all about works, 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 we're definitely not walking with him. Because our focus isn't on him. Our focus is on the wrong thing. Now, will we do works if we're saved? The Bible says we will. Not for our salvation, but because of our salvation. There's a difference. A huge difference there. There is an eternal danger of trying to trust in both Christ and works. For any trust in your own good works destroys your trust in Christ. The two are mutually exclusive. They don't go together. They don't go together at all. Romans 11:6 says, "And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work." Grace means that you, as an unworthy sinner, are freely given favor with God that you did not and cannot earn or deserve. Now, we can have favor with God because of what Christ did, not because of what we do. Because of what Christ did. When Christ bridged that gap between God the Father and us, it was all about him. It's not about what we do. Now, can we please the Father? How do we please God the Father? Keep His commandments, right? Walk with Him. Grow. Become more mature. Those things are pleasing to God the Father. Can we grieve the Holy Spirit? The Bible says we can. How do we do that? By not following the Word of God. By doing our own things. I believe it grieves the Holy Spirit when we trust in works instead of trust in the grace that has been given freely to us. Trust in works is the attempt to be worthy, to be a worthy, righteous man who actively works to merit favor with God that you can and did earn and deserve. That's the whole idea behind it, right? I'm doing these works because I deserve God's grace. Yeah, we don't deserve God's grace. The Bible tells us what we deserve is hell. That's what we deserve. Thank God we don't get what we deserve. I love it when people say, I want what I deserve. No, you don't. Be careful what you ask for. We should definitely be thrilled that we're not getting what we deserve. If you trust in works, you are fallen from grace. Fallen from grace. Galatians 5 verse 4, the latter part through 6, says, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Faith. It's all about faith. Has nothing to do with works. It's interesting how people will leave after hearing stuff like this and they'll, well, I don't have to do anything ever again. Well, did I say, will we have works in our life? And the answer is, if you're saved, yes, you will. And again, not for your salvation, but because of your salvation. So it doesn't get us off the hook from doing what the Bible commands us to do. It just doesn't. We're going to do those things because of our salvation, not for our salvation. But I'll tell you what, the answer is to walk with Him. If you're just walking with Him, you're going to do His will. If you're walking against Him, you're probably doing your own thing and trusting in something other than Him. Does this passage teach a person can lose their salvation if they do not maintain good works? Absolutely, positively, no. It does not. You can never lose your salvation. I was thankful for the opportunity to talk to a gentleman this week, and he was saying, I'm not 100% sure I'm saved. I said, the most important thing that you can have settled is your salvation. Before you do anything else, get that settled. If you're not 100% sure, get sure. Because the Bible tells us that we can be sure. We don't have to guess. We don't have to hope. We don't have to think. We can know for sure that we're on our way to heaven. We can know for sure we have salvation in Jesus Christ. So definitely don't mess around with that. If you have any doubt whatsoever, and I'm not trying to place doubt in your mind, I'm just saying if you're not 100% sure, get sure. Make sure. Don't guess. It's too important to guess. This verse teaches just the opposite. This passage actually warns against trying to earn favor with God by works. Galatians 5:4b, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Note this phrase, fallen from grace, from this verse has become the title of the teaching that salvation can be lost. They say, been fallen from grace, right? Isn't it amazing how they twist things and turn things and make them sound like what they aren't. That's why it's important to be in the right version of the Bible, for one, and it's good to study, as the Bible tells us, right? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I almost messed that up. Getting older, and it's still there. It's just got to come to the forefront. Those who deny eternal security teach that this passage tells us that those who go too far in sin fall from grace, which they interpret as losing their salvation. They thus teach that one must maintain good works to earn the privilege of keeping their salvation. So when you go there, how do they keep? We're in the Father's hand, we're in the Son's hand, and the Holy Spirit has sealed us to the day of redemption. How do you get past all of that? Oh, well, we leave that part out, right? Because we only want the parts. Here's my cafeteria-style Bible stuff. They only want the parts that justify what they believe. The parts that refute what they believe, they don't like. Well, we don't get to pick and choose what we like and what we don't like. We have to take all of the Bible and see what the whole Bible says. And so we don't have to worry about losing our salvation. If you're saved, you're always saved. So I said, make sure, be 100% sure that you are saved. Because that 99.9% sure is not enough. You need to be sure. However, even a casual reading of this passage finds no mention of sin as the cause of falling from grace. The error we read of here is instead an attempt to become or stay saved by works. Has everything to do with this works-based idea. The text states that those who attempt to become or stay justified before God on the basis of obedience to His commandments, those who trust in works, are actually the ones who have fallen from grace. Do not trust in works. You won't ever be able to do enough good. So don't trust in those. Our trust and faith has to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is but not the sinning saint, but rather the insecure salvationist himself who has fallen from grace. This does not mean that he has lost his salvation, but rather that he has fallen from trusting in the grace of Christ alone to trusting in his own good works to earn the keeping of his salvation. He has therefore fallen from living in liberty and freedom in the grace of Christ. Again, you can live in freedom in Christ or bondage. We get to choose. We get to choose. That's where God gives us that free will thing again. We get to choose. Which one do we want to do? And I got to tell you, this living in the liberty and freedom in the grace of Christ is much better than living in the bondage of a works-based salvation. This passage does not say that ye are fallen from salvation. It tells us that the Jewish legalists who taught that one must keep the law in order to remain saved have fallen from living in the truth and freedom of grace and have placed themselves back under the bondage of the law. Once you've been free from the law, why do you want to go back to it? When we're free from the law, why do we want to go back to it? It doesn't make any sense. But that's what people want. They want to be able to say, look at what I've done. Look at my list of accomplishments, right? Look at all this stuff I've done for God. He needs me, right? Wrong. Do you know every one of us is replaceable? It's amazing. Every one of us is replaceable. God doesn't need us. Now, does He want us? Yes, He does. He loves us. He wants us. But does He need us? What? Here's a question. If you think that God needs you, what can you do for God that He needs? that he can't get anywhere else. There's really nothing that we can do for God that he can't get somewhere else. Right? Say, well, I could love him. Well, other people can love him too. We can be obedient to him, right? Excuse me. We can be obedient to him. So can others. We don't have the corner on that market. Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Christ has set us free from the law. He set us free from the law. Galatians 3:13 says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." But false teachers want to bring you back to bondage. Bring us into bondage. That's what false teachers want. And I honestly don't get it other than the fact, as I've mentioned before, if you have to work your way to heaven, I could stand up here and say, we got to have this done and this done and this done and this done and this done, and it'll be done before we leave here tonight. Right? Because people think, I got to work my way to heaven, and I've got to get those things done before somebody else takes all my credit. Right? Somebody else might get to it before I do. That's the only thing I can think of why they push this work salvation thing. They want you to do everything they need. And so it works to their advantage, I guess. Galatians 2:4 says, "And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. We are not to frustrate the grace of God with attempts to earn our way to heaven or to mix grace and works." We're not to do that. Galatians 2:21 says, "I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." If we have this idea that we have to work our way to heaven, we have to work, have a salvation by works idea, somebody explain the cross. Can we explain that away? Jesus had to come and die so we can be reconciled to God the Father. It's the only way for it to happen. If there was any other way, why did Christ have to die? The answer is, if there was any other way, he wouldn't have had to. But the Bible tells us clearly, he had to die so that we could be redeemed. No choice. And when he left heaven's glory, he knew why he came. He knew he came to die. To take the sins of all of mankind on himself so that we could be reconciled to God the Father. He knew that. I wonder sometimes why. Don't you ever wonder why? I mean, we see the sinful world, right? We see what's going on in the world and we go, why on earth would he love us so much that he would be willing to take all this sin upon himself so we could be reconciled? Knowing full well what he was going to go through. The Bible tells us he left heaven's glory and came and willingly laid down his life and took it up again. He willingly did that. Sometimes I look at my own life and I think, why? Why does he love me so much? But I'm glad he does. I'm glad he does. All right. We are saved by grace, and we are to live by grace. Galatians 2:19 through 20. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. A person has fallen from living in grace when they vainly attempt to obtain or retain their salvation by keeping the law of commandments. They have moved back under the system of law and works instead of a system of grace and faith. The saved do not lose their salvation for this sin, but they do lose their freedom in Christ. However, the lost who try to be saved by works and therefore trust in their self and their own ability to keep the law rather than Christ are doomed to hell. So if you're already saved and you go back to this works-based salvation idea, you can't lose your salvation if you're truly saved. I want to make that perfectly clear. If you're truly saved. Because I believe there's some people out there that think they're saved, and they're not really saved. I think there's some people that did the repeat after me, and it didn't affect anything. So if you're truly saved, you can't lose your salvation. But if you're not saved, you're already doomed to hell. So you need to get saved. In contrast, Paul explains that true Christians receive righteousness by faith. Righteousness by faith. Galatians 5:5. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. In Christ, obeying the law does not avail anything. We receive salvation by faith. That faith then worketh by love. In Galatians 5:6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. If we work to earn our salvation or security, then our works are not done in love for God, but in selfish desire for our own benefit. Yeah, it's like pat ourselves on the back, right? However, if salvation has been freely received by grace, then we are free to serve Christ out of love with no thought of selfish gain. One day, we all have to understand this, one day we're all going to stand before God. Our works are going to be tried, the Bible says. What did we do them for? For our own selfish gain? Or out of love? For the Savior. Some of them are going to burn up. Some will withstand the fire. Depends on our motivation for doing them. Then Paul, like James, teaches that real faith works. James 2:14 through 17, and we'll end with this tonight. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say that he have faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, but you warmed, be ye warmed and filled, with, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yeah. Faith is going to have works. Because we love the Savior. Not because we think it's going to benefit us in our salvation. Right? I mean, it's not... I'll go with this one last thing. I had a preacher one time say that there's going to be different positions in heaven. And depending on how much works you did here is going to determine whether or not you're mayor or street sweeper. Mayor or janitor. I don't believe that, and I don't see where that's taught here. I believe that we are going to be rewarded in heaven. The Bible tells us we will be. But what are we going to do with those rewards? We're going to cast them at the Savior's feet. They're not for us. They're for Him. Do we want rewards that we can cast at His feet? Then let's do things with the right motivation. Because if we don't, they'll be burned up. So let's do things out of our love for the Savior and not because we think we're benefiting in any way, shape, or form. We already got the best benefit there is, right? If you're saved, you got the best benefit out there. You get to walk with the Savior. You get to spend eternity with the Savior. What could be better? Let's pray.